The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
We're in the final leg of the journey. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Monday, April 11th, 2022, Monday of Holy Week. In the Missal, it's liturgical year C, cycle 2. Monday is a day to pray the joyful mysteries of the Rosary. And our saint today is Saint Stanislaus. Born in Krakow, Poland, in 1030, he was ordained a priest after being educated in the cathedral schools of Gniezno, then the capital of Poland, and at Paris. He was appointed preacher and archdeacon to the Bishop of Krakow. He became Bishop of Krakow in 1072. Now, during an expedition against the Grand Duchy of Kiev, Stanislaus became involved in the political situation of Poland. The king first excused himself, then made a show of penance, then relapsed into his old ways. Stanislaus finally excommunicated the king. The king ordered soldiers to kill the bishop. When they refused, the king killed Stanislaus with his own hands. The year was 1079. Saint Stanislaus, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. Dear Lord, I do not know what will happen to me today. I only know that nothing will happen that was not foreseen by you and directed to my greater good from all eternity. I adore your holy and unfathomable plans and submit to them with all my heart for love of you, the Pope, and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Amen. And along with Pope Francis, we pray for healthcare workers who serve the sick and the elderly, especially in the poorest countries. May they be adequately supported by governments and local communities. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Well, it's Monday in Holy Week, the holiest week of the year, and it offers us a deeper glimpse into the mystery of the passion that our Lord had to suffer, of that human and supernatural upheaval in Jerusalem in the year 33. And it's at the very core of our faith. It's a story, it's a series of human interactions, emotions, words, images. And now we must really let them all sink in deeply into our heart, into our mind. Certainly the early Christians did that. They went over each one of those moments, and they even developed eventually devotions to the stations of the cross, to the very details of what our Lord went through. Now, John today tells us that the Lord had been invited for supper to Bethany. It was a familiar place. There it was amongst family. It was an intimate and familiar setting. Martha, we imagine her now there serving as she always did. And now she did so knowing the importance of this work and feeling that she had indeed been chosen to do the better part. She was now really working for love with a spirit of presence of God. She was not stressed as she was before. She was serene and joyful. And that's what happens when Jesus comes into our life and we really experience his loving gaze. I'm sure he caught her little glances now and then, and as she went about her work with cups and plates piled up high, teetering on the trays. And there she was preparing the food and the drinks, and there was lots to be done, but she did not feel overwhelmed or worried, or that somehow she was judged. She took special care of Lazarus, her brother, and she must still have been rubbing her eyes to see that he was actually really amongst them, still alive. Then, enters Mary. This is how St. John describes it. Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil made from genuine aromatic nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of that oil. So she did not carefully pry open the vessel and simply offer a few drops. She was not stingy. She did not hold back. She did not keep any for herself or for a future occasion. She gave it all. She broke the entire jar. And the result of that generosity is that the aroma filled not only Jesus himself, but filled the entire house. It was a pleasant odor, a wonderful, attractive perfume that did not simply cover a bad smell. It made you want to be there. You know, how can we describe this aroma? Well, sometimes it happens to us. After a long day's work, you come home, you can smell the food readying in the kitchen. It's attractive. It's inviting because you've come home to eat, and of course you haven't prepared it, but others have. And it's also attractive because you know that somebody has slaved away, and you can already guess what it might be. Your favorite dish has been prepared. You know, I live in a student residence, and I'm very lucky to have some ladies that do the cleaning. And at times you come into your own room and it smells clean, the place has been dusted. It's not just some lemon freshener that you smell, but it's almost as though you smell the hard work, the dedication of those women who have come before you. They did their work with love, with dedication. They straightened everything out. And now you feel ready to work in this clean environment. Well, with Mary of Bethany, her humility, her magnanimity above all, came together here. Both together are in opposition to pride, as well as to a kind of faint-heartedness, or perhaps a stinginess. And so this fragrance that she left behind affected everybody in the room. It was a pleasant odor. It reminds me of a homily or a speech that Pope Benedict gave when he was celebrating the first anniversary of the death of Pope John Paul II. He spoke about the Pope, he spoke about his 104 pastoral trips, his 14 encyclicals, and how he had died on the eve of divine mercy, and so many other amazing things about his heroic life. He said it was as though his life itself had left the church with this beautiful fragrance, like a perfume. It was this fragrance, he said, that led so many people to come to St. Peter's Square for his funeral and shout repeatedly, Santo subito, you know, let us make him a saint quickly, fast. Now would that our life have that good fragrance, and that we too be described as truly generous, with a magnanimity that fills the air of our house, of our family, and that we never, well, leave off a bad smell. And Mary's example, as well as all the other saints, her example of generosity and also of repentance, gives us an idea of how to become truly magnanimous in our lives. What indeed does it mean to have a magnanimous heart? Well, magnanimity is the expression of the spirit toward great things, wanting to undertake great things. One who expects great things of himself and makes himself worthy of it, well, that's a magnanimous soul. And we can get petty or overly concerned about really secondary things. But the magnanimous person does not get concerned with everything that comes along, but rather only with great things, only those things are suitable for him. And ultimately, the highest glory. That's why we say magnanimity is opposed to being narrow-minded. Here's a good definition that I read in a book about leadership. He says, small-minded men pass through life as through a tunnel, and with their tunnel vision, they see only themselves. And then he quotes Alexandre Dumas, who wrote the famous epic novel, The Count of Monte Cristo, he said, "Men are born without teeth, without hair, and without ideals. And the majority of them die without teeth, without hair, and without ideals. But great men, are open to possibilities beyond the limitations of the self, and are restless until they have said yes to their vocation." It's a beautiful expression. So restlessness, not because I'm nervous, restlessness because the Lord asks me for more. And I don't want to ever place myself in a comfort zone, because if we stay in the comfort zone of our life, we will never really grow. A zone where I can just do my work and be accepted and kind of be a nice person. And Pope Francis has spoken about magnanimity, and he really doesn't like pusillanimity. Pusillanimity. It's a very hard word to pronounce. He loves virtues of the great, of great ideals. And this too is what we can take today from Mary of Bethany. And it's expressed in the way she poured out that perfume, which was very expensive. She gave herself over to God, and she recognized that, Jesus, you were God, and that you also would forgive her of her sins. She deeply understood your great goodness and love, but at the same time acknowledges her unworthiness. So she overcomes this by giving of her best, that costly nard that she had, the best quality. Example of magnificence, an act of visible splendor, a kind of lofty celebration of your presence. Like those solemn processions full of reverence and song and incense for the beloved Lord in the Eucharist. St. Jose Maria used to a particular phrase that would explain why we must always struggle to be better, humanly, ascetically, spiritually, professionally, intellectually, and in the family. He said, we have to be aristocrats of love. Aristocrats, it's from the Greek, means the best, the best. And what is really the best here is our special love. And so let us ask of this now, in particular during this Holy Week, so that we can pour out our generosity in our prayer, the way we love others, we love our Lord, so that we can truly do crazy things out of love. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
You'll find more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. It's 17 past the hour on Monday of Holy Week on Daybreak. It's Monday of Holy Week, April 11th, 2022. I'm Paul Sadek, and this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We begin this liturgical day now, joining with the whole church, led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in the invitatory psalm and the office of readings.
Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
O God, be gracious and bless us, and let your face shed its light upon us. So will your ways be known upon the earth, and all nations learn your saving help.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endure temptation and suffering.
Let the nations be glad and exult, for you rule the world with justice. With fairness you rule the peoples. You guide the nations on earth.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endure temptation and suffering.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
The earth has yielded its fruit, for God, our God, has blessed us. May God still give us his blessing, till the ends of the earth revere him.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Bow down and hear me, Lord. Come to my rescue.
Bow down and hear me, Lord. Come to my rescue.
In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, set me free. Hear me and speedily rescue me. Be a rock of refuge for me, a mighty stronghold to save me. For you are my rock, my stronghold. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Release me from the snares they have hidden, for you are my refuge, Lord. Into your hands I commend my spirit. It is you who will redeem me, Lord. O God of truth, you detest those who worship false and empty gods. As for me, I trust in the Lord. Let me be glad and rejoice in your love. You who have seen my affliction and taken heed of my soul's distress have not handed me over to the enemy, but set my feet at large.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Bow down and hear me, Lord. Come to my rescue.
Lord, let the light of your countenance shine on your servant.
Lord, let the light of your countenance shine on your servant.
Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in distress. Tears have wasted my eyes, my throat, and my heart, for my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighs. Affliction has broken down my strength, and my bones waste away. In the face of all my foes, I am a reproach, an object of scorn to my neighbors and of fear to my friends. Those who see me in the street run far away from me. I am like a dead man, forgotten, like a thing thrown away. I have heard the slander of the crowd. Fear is all around me as they plot together against me, as they plan to take my life. But as for me, I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My life is in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of those who hate me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your love.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Lord,
let the light of your countenance shine on your servant.
Blessed be the Lord, for he has poured out his mercy upon me.
Blessed be the Lord, for he has poured out his mercy upon me.
How great is the goodness, Lord, that you keep for those who fear you, that you show to those who trust you in the sight of men. You hide them in the shelter of your presence from the plotting of men. You keep them safe within your tent from disputing tongues. Blessed be the Lord who has shown me the wonders of his love in a fortified city. I am far removed from your sight, I said in my alarm. Yet you heard the voice of my plea when I cried for help. Love the Lord, all you saints. He guards his faithful, but the Lord will repay to the full those who act with pride. Be strong. Let your heart take courage, all who hope in the Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. God of kindness and truth, you saved your chosen one, Jesus Christ, and you gave your martyrs strength. Watch over your people who come to you here and strengthen the hearts of those who hope in you, that they may proclaim your saving acts of kindness in the eternal city.
Blessed be the Lord, for he has poured out his mercy upon me.
When I am lifted up from the earth,
I will draw all men to myself.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, since the blood of Jesus assures our entrance into the sanctuary by the new and living path he has opened up for us through the veil meaning his flesh, and since we have a great priest who is over the house of God, let us draw near in utter sincerity and absolute confidence, our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil which lay on our conscience, and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to our profession, which gives us hope, for he who made the promise deserves our trust. We must consider how to rouse each other to love and good deeds. We should not absent ourselves from the assembly as some do, but encourage one another, and this all the more because you see that the day draws near. If we sin willfully after receiving the truth, there remains for us no further sacrifice for sin, only a fearful expectation of judgment and a flaming fire to consume the adversaries of God. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses is put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Do you not suppose that a much worse punishment is due the man who disdains the Son of God, thinks the covenant blood by which he was sanctified to be ordinary, and insults the Spirit of grace? We know who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and "the Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Recall the days gone by when, after you had been enlightened, you endured a great contest of suffering. At times you were publicly exposed to insult and trial. At other times you associated yourselves with those who were being so dealt with. You even joined in the suffering of those who were in prison and joyfully assented to the confiscation of your goods, knowing that you had better and more permanent possessions. Do not then surrender your confidence. It will have great reward. You need patience to do God's will and receive what he has promised. For just a brief moment, and he who is to come will come. He will not delay. My just man will live by faith, and if he draws back, I take no pleasure in him. We are not among those who draw back and perish, but among those who have faith and live. The word of the Lord. Never lose heart if you wish to receive what God has promised.
You must have the patience to do his will.
Stand firm and you will be saved.
You must have the patience to do his will.
From a sermon by St. Augustine, Bishop. The passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the hope of glory and a lesson in patience. What may not the hearts of believers promise themselves as the gift of God's grace when, for their sake, God's only Son, co-eternal with the Father, was not content only to be born as a man from human stock, but even died at the hands of the men he had created? It is a great thing that we are promised by the Lord, but far greater is what has already been done for us and which we now commemorate. Where were the sinners? What were they when Christ died for them? When Christ has already given us the gift of his death, who is to doubt that he will give the saints the gift of his own life? Why does our human frailty hesitate to believe that mankind will one day live with God? Who is Christ if not the Word of God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. He had no power of himself to die for us. He had to take from us our mortal flesh. This was the way in which, though being immortal, he was able to die. The way in which he chose to give life to mortal men. He would first share with us and then enable us to share with him. Of ourselves, we had no power to live, nor did he of himself have the power to die. Accordingly, he effected a wonderful exchange with us through mutual sharing. We gave him the power to die. He will give us the power to live. The death of the Lord, our God, should not be a cause of shame for us. Rather, it should be our greatest hope, our greatest glory. And taking upon himself the death that he found in us, he has most faithfully promised to give us life in him, such as we cannot have of ourselves. He loved us so much that, sinless himself, he suffered for us sinners the punishment we deserved for our sins. How then can he fail to give us the reward we deserve for our righteousness? For he is the source of righteousness. How can he, whose promises are true, fail to reward the saints when he bore the punishment of sinners, though without sin himself? Brethren, let us then fearlessly acknowledge and even openly proclaim that Christ was crucified for us. Let us confess it, not in fear, but in joy, not in shame, but in glory. The Apostle Paul saw Christ and extolled his claim to glory. He had many great and inspired things to say about Christ, but he did not say that he boasted in Christ's wonderful works in creating the world, since he was God with the Father, or in ruling the world, though he was also a man like us. Rather, he said, "Let me not boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." We worship your cross, O Lord. We recall your glorious passion.
Have mercy on us, for whose sake you endured so much.
You have redeemed us with your precious blood. Hear the prayer of your servants and come to our help.
Have mercy on us, for whose sake you endured so much.
Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that though in our weakness we fail, we may be revived through the passion of your only begotten Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
23 minutes before the hour, we'll take a look at today's gospel in just a few minutes, along with In Conversation with God and Morning Prayer, all coming up on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app for Monday of Holy Week, April 11th, 2022. I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, Jesus and the 12 are in Bethany, and Judas begins to show his colors. It's from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly ointment of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was to betray him, said,
"Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?"
This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to take what was put into it.
"Let her alone. Let her keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me."
When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came, not only on account of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus also to death, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible courtesy of Falcon Picture Group, daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. On this Monday of Holy Week, let's consider Peter. Not so much the fact that he fell and denied Christ, but that he got back up and repented. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 2, Lent and Eastertide. Jesus, having been much ill-used, is led into one of the courtyards. He then turned and looked at Peter. Their looks meet. Peter would like to bow his head, but he cannot tear his eyes from him whom he has just denied. He knows the Savior's looks well, that look that had determined his vocation. He had not been able to resist either in its authority or its charm, and that tender look of the Master's on the day he had affirmed, looking at his disciples, "Here are my brethren, my sisters, my mother." And that look that had made him tremble when he, Simon, had wanted to banish the cross from Jesus' path, and the affectionately pitying look with which he had invited the too rich young man to follow him, and his look clouded with tears before Lazarus' tomb. He knows them well, the Savior's looks. And yet, never, never had he seen on the Savior's face the expression he sees there at this moment, the eyes marked with sadness but without any severity. A look of reproach, without a doubt, but which becomes suppliant at the same time and seems to repeat to him, "Simon, I have prayed for thee." This look only rests on him for an instant. Jesus is violently dragged away by the soldiers, but Peter sees him all the time. He sees that compassionate look of Jesus fixed upon the deep wound of his guilt. He now understands the enormity of his sin and the fulfillment of our Lord's prophecy about his betrayal. And Peter remembers the words of our Lord, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. His going out was to acknowledge his fault. He was able to weep bitterly because he knew how to love. The bitterness of sorrow in him quickly gave way to the sweetness of love. Knowing that our Lord had looked upon him prevented Peter from falling into despair. His look was one of encouragement in which Peter felt understood and forgiven. How it would remind him of the parables of the Good Shepherd, the prodigal son, and the lost sheep. Peter went out. He moved away from that whole situation in which he had imprudently placed himself so as to avoid any possible relapses. He realized that this was not the place for him to be. He remembered his Lord, and he wept bitterly. We see ourselves in the situation of Peter. Sorrow of love, because he is good, because he is your friend who gave his life for you, because everything good you have is his, because you have offended him so much, because he has forgiven you. He forgiven you. Weep, my son, with sorrow of love. Contrition gives special strength to the soul. It restores hope, makes the Christian forget himself and draw close to God once more with a deeper act of love. Contrition proves the quality of interior life and always attracts God's mercy. This is the man to whom I will look, he that is humble and contrite in spirit. Christ found no difficulty in building his church upon a man who was able to fall and who did fall. God also counts on weak instruments, provided they repent, to carry out his big project, the salvation of mankind. It is very probable that after the denials and his repentance, Peter would have gone to look for our Blessed Lady. This is what we do also at this moment, as our own faults and denials come more vividly to mind. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. 14 minutes before the hour, we join the whole church in prayer now. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Jesus said, "My heart is nearly broken with sorrow. Stay here and keep watch with me."
Jesus said, My heart is nearly broken with sorrow. Stay here and keep watch with me.
Like the deer that yearns for running streams, so my soul is yearning for you, my God.
My soul is thirsting for God, the God of my life. When can I enter and see the face of God?
My tears have become my bread, by night, by day, as I hear it said all the day long, "Where is your God?"
These things will I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would lead the rejoicing crowd into the house of God, amid cries of gladness and thanksgiving, the throng wild with joy.
Why are you cast down, my soul? Why groan within me? Hope in God. I will praise him still, my Savior and my God.
My soul is cast down within me as I think of you, from the country of Jordan and Mount Hermon, from the hill of Mizar.
Deep is calling on deep, in the roar of waters. Your torrents and all your waves swept over me.
By day the Lord will send his loving kindness. By night I will sing to him, praise the God of my life.
I will say to God, my rock, "Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning, oppressed by the foe?"
With cries that pierce me to the heart, my enemies revile me, saying to me all the day long, "Where is your God?"
Why are you cast down, my soul? Why groan within me? Hope in God. I will praise him still, my Savior and my God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, when your strength takes possession of us, we no longer say, "Why are you cast down, my soul?" So now that the surging waves of your indignation have passed over us, let us feel the healing calm of your forgiveness. Inspire us to yearn for you always, like the deer for running streams, until you satisfy every longing in heaven.
Jesus said, My heart is nearly broken with sorrow. Stay here and keep watch with me.
Now the time has come for this world to receive its sentence. Now the prince of this world will be driven out.
Now the time has come for this world to receive its sentence. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. Come to our aid, O God of the universe, and put all the nations in dread of you. Raise your hand against the heathen,
that they may realize your power.
As you have used us to show them your holiness, so now use them to show us your glory. Thus they will know, as we know, that there is no God but you.
Give new signs and work new wonders. Show forth the splendor of your right hand and arm.
Gather all the tribes of Jacob, that they may inherit the land as of old. Show mercy to the people called by your name, Israel, whom you named your firstborn.
Take pity on your holy city, Jerusalem, your dwelling place. Fill Zion with your majesty, your temple with your glory.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Now the time has come for this world to receive its sentence. Now the prince of this world will be driven out.
Jesus, the beginning and end of our faith, endured the cross, heedless of the shame, and is seated now at the right hand of the throne of God.
Jesus, the beginning and the end of our faith, endured the cross, heedless of the shame, and is seated now at the right hand of the throne of God.
The heavens proclaim the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth the work of his hands. Day unto day takes up the story, and night unto night makes known the message.
No speech, no word, no voice is heard, yet their span extends through all the earth, their words to the utmost bounds of the world.
There he has placed a tent for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom coming from his tent, rejoices like a champion to run its course.
At the end of the sky is the rising of the sun. To the furthest end of the sky is its course. There is nothing concealed from its burning heat.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. To enlighten the world, Father, you sent to us your word as the sun of truth and justice shining upon mankind. Illumine our eyes that we may discern your glory in the many works of your hands.
Jesus, the beginning and the end of our faith, endured the cross, heedless of the shame, and is seated now at the right hand of the throne of God. A reading from the book of Jeremiah. I, like a trusting lamb led to the slaughter, had not realized that they were hatching plots against me. Let us destroy the tree in its vigor. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will be spoken no more. But you, O Lord of hosts, O just judge, searcher of mind and heart, let me witness the vengeance you take on them. For to you I have entrusted my cause, O Lord my God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
By your own blood, Lord, you brought us back to God. From every tribe and tongue and people and nation,
you brought us back to God.
Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
By your own blood, Lord, you brought us back to God.
Father, Righteous One, the world does not know you, but I know you, because you are the one who sent me.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Father, Righteous One, the world does not know you, but I know you, because you are the one who sent me.
Let us pray to Christ our Savior, who redeemed us by his death and resurrection.
Lord, have mercy on us.
You went up to Jerusalem to suffer, and so enter into your glory.
Bring your church to the Passover feast of heaven.
Lord, have mercy on us.
You were lifted high on the cross and pierced by the soldier's lance.
Heal our wounds. Lord, have mercy on us.
You made the cross the tree of life.
Give its fruit to those reborn in baptism.
Lord, have mercy on us.
On the cross, you forgave the repentant thief.
Forgive us our sins. Lord, have mercy on us.
We pause in silence to remember our own petitions. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Now let us offer the prayer Christ has given us as the model for all prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that though in our weakness we fail, we may be revived through the passion of your only begotten Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Join us for our Holy Week retreat, Close to Jesus to the Last, with Father Rocky, 11 o'clock this morning Central Time or 6 o'clock this evening Central Time. Morning Air is coming up in just a few minutes. I'm Paul Sadek. Let's get together again tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the Relevant Radio app. In the meantime, you go out and make this a great day and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.